Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
The moment of wisdom. Every day we have a moment of wisdom. We want the wisdom of God. Really what you're looking at in America right now, and what you're looking at a lot in a lot of the church is there's a lot of knowledge, there's a lot of teachers, you know, but the wisdom comes with, you know, fathers, you know, have wisdom, you know, those, you know, fathers in the Lord, and that you get it from the Word of God, spending time with God. Of all the things that Solomon could have asked for when he was chosen as David's son, as the third king of Israel, the third.
He was the third.
And was, give me wisdom on how to lead your people. And I encourage everyone that's listening, that's whether you're in a business, a Christian business owner, whether you're a father or a mother that's leading a family, you know, whether you are leading a congregation or a fellowship or a gathering of believers, you know, kind of knock everything off your list right now and cry out for wisdom. We need wisdom. We're about to lose this puppy.
Yeah.
You know, and if we lose this freedom, you know, we're going into bondage. We're going into captivity. Church is going to live. It's going to thrive. Matter of fact, it'll thrive. and we always said, whatever it takes to win the lost. But it sure would be a waste that we have to be in a time of suffrage and bondage. That Ananias and Sapphira has to fall out before the fear of the Lord spreads.
Right.
And many people are won to the Lord. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Ask for the wisdom and the fear of the Lord. So we talk about it every single day. And today is the 19th of the month. So we look at the 19th chapter of Proverbs, and it's 19:21. And what I'm going to talk about is the creator of the universe, Father God, he's pro-choice. He is pro-choice. Not pro-choice like people today are talking about pro-choice. But he's into you choosing. He does not choose for us. He always lays before us options. And so the proverb for today is Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. Let me say it again. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. I mean, think about it. God has given each of us freedom, but it's freedom to choose. It's freedom to choose. You know, actually, God is pro-choice, not in the sense, you know, of course, that we're talking about in America here, people talking about pro-choice means actually I can choose to take your life. That's not pro-choice. That baby didn't have a choice. That's not
right.
You know, but God is obviously allowing you to choose to take that child's life. But pro-choice for each of us, his goal was to have pro-choice for each of us. His design is, not his goal, is for each of us to decide what we're going to do with this life that he's given us. What are we going to do with this life? What choices are we going to make in regards to us choosing to have a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ? And when you think about it, for us who actually choose God through his son, Jesus Christ, it's a choice that we make. We're making a choice.
Right.
I mean, nobody's, it's not forced upon. God does not force us to choose him. You know, when you see men, when they're religions, you'll see what they'll do. They're man-made religions, and they're perceived gods, and it's all about forcing people to be in compliance, and there's no choice.
Right.
You know, there's no choice. This is how it is. And we serve a God that says, you know, I put before you blessings and cursings. I put before you life and death. You choose. You know, in the sin nature, the flesh nature of us, you know, our flesh nature will just say, just make the choice for us. But then there's no relationship there. The relationship is when you choose every single day that you get up and you abide with God and you choose to follow him, you're making a choice to follow him. And that's a choice. He is pro-choice. He wants you, he wants to see what you're going to do. Though he allows for circumstances to help give us contrast, if you would, between the choices to help us make a better choice, he will not make the choice for us.
Right.
When you think about it, I mean, he will allow things. You'll consider hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son. For what son is not disciplined? What son does not go through hardship? Yet, though God allows these hardships to come upon people or person or us, the hardship at some point is to be able to motivate us to decide what we're going to do. We need to make a choice. And so many people are thinking that God's going to make the choice for them, and they're sitting back waiting on God. He's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting for you. What choice are you going to make? I mean, think about it. When God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he also placed, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. God told them, don't eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Mm-hmm. But he left the choice.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, Lord, please don't give me choices. I'm not always good with choices. I mean, Romans 17, you know, Paul's talking about, you said, when there's a choice before me and I make a good, and my intentions are to choose the good thing. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? He says, I end up choosing the wrong thing. What's wrong? Oh, wretched man that I am.
Yeah,
and he talks about all that. He says, I find out the sense, you know. And so, but the whole thing is that, you know, he's going to wait and see what we're going to do. He waited to see what Adam and Eve were going to do in the garden, because every day they didn't choose to eat from the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of that. They chose to have a relationship with him.
Right.
But he left the choice to them. Mm. He left a choice to them. Of course, they chose to eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. But yet God's purposes were prevail today, because even though all men sinned by their fall in the garden, you know, every man failed and the original sin was there so that sin could be utterly sinful. But by the time that he brings his son, Jesus, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, that there was a clear choice. There was a clear choice, you know, the world or God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was very clear. So his purposes prevailed. Or even think about this. When Cain was so jealously angry with his brother Abel, you know, he wanted to kill him. And God didn't whack Cain. You know, some people think, you know, God's going to just whack somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to do that.
Right.
He just told him, say, hey, Cain, you got sin hanging outside your door.
Right.
Why are you looking so sad? Why don't you do what's right? Right?
Yeah, again.
Why don't you do what's right? And so Cain thought, I got a choice. Am I going to do what's right, or am I going to kill my brother?
Right.
And he chose. He made a choice, didn't he?
He sure did.
He killed his brother, but he made a choice. God left that choice with him. You know, I'm sure Abel, if he was in the meeting, he thought, like, God,
hello,
you know, my brother, he's going to kill me.
Right.
And God's going to say, but my purposes are going to prevail still, because your blood will cry out until the time that I come back. And he says, the Abel's blood cries out from the soil today.
Mm.
And all the bloodshed that's happened, every baby that was killed, every murder that was done, you know, every murder that was done, that blood cries out. You know, and that's why we went, by the way, and prayed over murder scenes mm-hmm. where blood was spilt. And for that reason. And so God's purposes prevail because his blood still cries out. Or when God called Noah, think about it. He called Noah to tell the people on the earth for 125 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and every day for 125 years, he said, I have a multiple choice test for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's either yes or no. And he would preach the yes and no, and he'd wait for their answer. I mean, for 125 years, he said, there's a choice, because and God was allowing, you know, everyone, including Noah and his family, to decide if they were going to follow God's way or not. What were they going to choose? And they continued to walk in evil. Their minds were their minds and their heart were on evil 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he gave them the choice. For 125 years, he gave them a choice. When they were outside the ark, they chose to be outside the ark. But Noah chose to be inside the ark.
Mm-hmm.
This is so important, because God is pro-choice. He's waiting for you to choose. He's not going to choose for you. He may encourage you with a little calamity, may lose a little few things.
All right.
You may go through a time of suffering because of your choices, but he's saying to you this. He says, I don't want eternal damnation for you. I don't want you to end up separate from me. Mm-hmm. I want you to be in relationship with me forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about that. So, but he still allowed everybody to make the decision. So God's purposes prevailed, as he wanted to purge the earth of those who had their minds and hearts set on evil 24 hours a day. And everybody that chose to go with the evil way, his purposes prevailed, because he wanted to start again.
Mm-hmm.
And he started again with Noah. That was his purposes prevailed. People say, I don't know if I'm from Adam and Eve, but think about it. You're definitely from Adam and Eve. But then again, now you're from Noah and his family, right? Because everybody died at the time of the flood.
Right.
So, or think about even God, when God chose Abraham. It wasn't a guarantee. It was not a guarantee that God was God's promises were going to come to pass in his life. It was an option for him. Get thee up and go, and I'll show you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but God still waited to see if Abraham would believe him, have faith in him, would fear him only, you know what I'm saying? And Abraham did all of these. But most of all, on Mount Moriah, he went there, and he was willing to sacrifice the promise.
Mm-hmm.
He was willing to give up his son, to sacrifice his son. And it was there that God said, you've made a good choice.
Right.
Don't kill the lad. I'll provide for you a sacrifice. But he waited to see if Abraham, what choice he was going to make.
Mm-hmm.
What choice he was going to make. There's so many people sitting back just thinking the choices have been made already. But you're going to be held accountable not only for the choices that you made, but you're going to be held accountable for every word that you say.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Judged or acquitted based on you know. And so he made that choice then, and this is what God said. God said what he said in the beginning. He goes, now I see you fear me. Now I'll give you everything I said I'll give you. Most people go, what? I thought I had it all along.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you had choices to make along the way, and you did well. He's the father of faith. He made the choices trusting in God. And it's pretty cool because, you know, God is known as God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob's other name after wrestling with God was
Israel.
And so today Israel's around because God, what was God's purposes and why did they prevail? Because he wanted a chosen people. He chose Abraham and he worked through Abraham for his purposes to prevail. And today we're looking at Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. Why? Because God's purposes prevailed because Abraham made the right choices by faith. So somebody had to make choices all along the way. I mean, when God chose the very first king of Israel,
mm-hmm.
you know, quite often that's why we're talking about this is because, you know, when people read that proverb, they think, oh, you know, it doesn't matter what I say or what I do. It's just going to go God's way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever will be, mm-hmm. That's not necessarily true. I mean, God's purposes will prevail, but if you make a wrong choice, you won't be a part of his prevailing
right.
purposes. You know what I'm saying? So when God chose Saul, the very first king of Israel, he told Saul what was expected of him. And let Saul decide if he was going to follow God and his ways. I mean, gave him the leadership of God's people. And he said, okay, decide. Make some choices here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So God's sitting here leaning over the banister of heaven. Just kind of imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's watching you. He's watching yeah. Saul. What's he going to do? What choices are going to make? And God watched King Saul to see what he would do. And King Saul decided not to follow God's way and took matters into his own hands.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God regretted the day. Think about it. He regretted the day, he said, that he ever made Saul king mm-hmm. because he failed to seek him and to go after him and do things his way. But his purposes prevailed because he looked and found a man after his own heart, and his purpose wasn't Saul. His purpose was a people to be able to be protected, and that man was David, and he raised up King David, a man after his own heart, and brought him back, and David made the right choices, even though he chose not to lay his hands on God's anointing. He chose to be faithful to the Father. He chose to confront the uncircumcised Philistines and the things that, I mean, he made all the right choices, even though he wasn't perfect. He knew, and he sought the Lord, and he chose good things, and now from his lineage, the prevailing purposes of God, which is Jesus Christ, came from the lineage of David. Listen, you're going to have to make some choices. Today's wisdom, we're talking about, if you don't choose, you know, if you don't make a choice, it's not going to just happen. You're going to have to choose today who you're going to serve.
Right.
But think about it. Father God gave Jesus Christ, his son, a choice to follow him. He had to choose a choice to follow him or not, to be the sacrifice for all sins or not. And then he waited to see what he was going to do. Jesus, although he was all man and all God, he made a choice not to exercise any of his God qualities in regards to calling down legions of angels. And he would just wait for the Father to give him the unction, to be able to do what he wanted to do. He followed the Father. Mm-hmm. And so in that, God just watched. Father mm-hmm. God just watched him and see what he was going to do. But yet God's purposes prevailed. Jesus was tempted in every way. Yet he chose not to sin. It wasn't like a given. I mean, he chose not to sin because he would loud, even though he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. With loud cries and petitions, he cried out to the one who could save him from himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's making choices. I'm going to turn to the Father. I need help. I'm being tempted. These things are going on. He was tempted in every way, but every time he was tempted, unlike us, you know, unlike us, he said no.
All right.
He made a choice to live a sinless life. And when he could have sinned, he chose not to sin. He made a choice to follow the Father instead and follow his ways. Even the point where he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and a huge choice, the final choice was laid before him that was going to change the life as we know it, eternity as we know it, the ability to have a relationship with the creator of the universe or not. He sat there and he sweated drops of blood because there was a choice before him. And the prevailing purposes of God were weighing in the balance. And the question was, would Jesus be a part? Would he make a choice to be a part of the prevailing purposes of God? Would he obey the Father? And he expressed the choice. He said, I would not have to have the choice of drinking this cup of crucifixion and dying. But then he said, you know what? I know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So not my choice, but your choice be done, right? Not my will, but your will be done. He chose the will of the Father, the will of God over his own will. That's called the perfect, that's sacrificial life. When you live, when you choose every day to say, I'm not going to be in that wrong relationship. I'm not going to go to that sin anymore. I'm going to turn to the cross. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to slander. I'm not going to go the ways of the world. I'm not going to buy into the false doctrines that are just rampant today. You are worshiping God. You're choosing to worship him. And God's prevailing purposes, because Jesus chose this right way, the God's way, that God's purposes prevailed through Jesus, because he became the righteous sacrifice, making Jesus the only way. I mean, there wouldn't have been a way. Imagine trying to get to a location, but there's no way to get there.
Right.
There's no doors on the room. There's no doors on the house.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? There's no gate on the fence. You can't get in. I mean, heaven would be horrific if there was no gate to get in heaven.
Right.
You know, and Jesus was that gate. If that wouldn't happen, we'd be knocking on the wall. We wouldn't be there at all.
Mm-mm.
So when it came time for Jesus to be arrested, I'm talking about God's pro-choice. We're talking about his prevailing purposes. We have to understand this, because right now, the church across the world, but definitely the American church, we have a choice to make. We can choose religion. We can choose tradition and just say, whatever will be. And believe me, it won't be good.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can choose to follow God. We can make the everyday choices as we abide with him. Because when it came time for Jesus to be arrested and take this journey to the cross to take on the sins of man, when they arrested him, he chose not to call down legions of angels to stop the arrest and defend. He could have just said, stop, freeze.
Yeah.
But he chose not to. They took him before the high priest and they lied about it. They lied about God. I mean, you're caring all about people lying about you? Get used to it. If they call Jesus Satan, you can choose to follow God even when they're calling you Satan. They took him before the high priest and they lied about him, yet he chose to say nothing in his defense, choosing to entrust his justice, the justice that would be due him to the Father. He didn't even defend himself.
All right.
Every day you have a choice to say, are you going to defend yourself? The second you start defending yourself, you already bit the bait, and it ain't going to be good.
Right.
That's the whole thing. The enemy just wants to get you in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're coming to you to fight you, that means they already know they've lost. So it's like, well, you're here anyway, right? And so, but he chose to say nothing. They punched Jesus in the face. They spit on him, and they took his clothes and gambled over, but he chose to remain silent like a sheep. Listen, like a sheep going to the slaughter. And God's purposes prevailed because he made those choices and he became the Lamb of God. He was like a lamb going to the slaughter who offered up not one defense. And he became, because he chose to lay down his life, he became the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world.
Wow.
These are choices.
Mm-hmm.
They whipped him till his flesh was split. How could this be God's prevailing purposes? And he chose to take every beating. And God's prevailing purposes came to pass. What? By his stripes we were healed.
All right.
You know, if you don't go through something, if you don't follow God through something, you'll never be a source for the next generation. You're going to have to wake up. God's prevailing purposes, yes, are going to prevail. But you have to make a choice whether you're going to be a part of it or not. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's purposes that prevail. Get in the purposes of God. He's got a plan to redeem mankind. He's looking for those who will stand in the gap to raise up and say, here I am. Because once Jesus went through the time of learning obedience through what he suffered, he became a source for eternal life. God's looking for people who will become a source under his son, Jesus Christ, who will lead other people to his voice. They pressed a crown of thorns in his head, laid him on a wooden cross, and nailed each hand and his feet to the cross. And then they stood the cross up and crucified him publicly before the world. He chose to be the sacrifice for sin. He made the choice. And when he was hanging on the cross, taking his last breath in this season that he was being crucified, he chose to forgive the ones who were nailing him to the cross and who betrayed him. He said, Father, forgive them. He chose that,
mm-hmm.
for they know not what they do.
Amazing.
What choices are you making today? What choices are you making? God's purposes prevailed, for it was his sacrifice that made it possible for our sins to be forgiven and for us to be in relationship with God if we choose what Jesus did for us. But we have to choose again.
All right.
And as Jesus, upon his death, on the cross, went to the depths of hell.
Mm-hmm.
He chose to go to the depths of hell. And he took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave.
That's right.
But he never could have done that choice if he wouldn't have made the choice to go to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are trying to get victory over death, hell, and the grave, but they won't deny themselves.
Right.
They won't make a choice to deny themselves. So that we could spend eternity with the Father forever. The choices that Jesus made allows us to make a choice for Jesus today. Today, right now, the Father has given you a choice. He is a pro-choice God, not like this world. I'm talking about he wants you to make a choice. And you've been given the ability to make a choice, just like Adam and Eve. The choice he places before you is simple, but it's yours to make. He has placed before you the ability to choose life or death, heaven or hell, forgiveness of all your sin or eternal consequences for not confessing them. Just like he has since the day of his creation has given us an ability to make a choice and waits for us to do it, he will not make the choice for you.
Mm-hmm.
He will not. I don't care how rough your circumstances and what you're going through. You need to ask the question, is there something I'm supposed to be deciding in this? Is there a choice I'm supposed to be making?
Right.
I want to be in the prevailing purposes of God. I don't want to. Many are the plans that a man's heart, but it's your plans that prevail, Father. Mm-hmm. So do I need to make a different choice here? I mean, there's not, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Ask the question.
Yeah.
America, you're falling to your knees. There's holes in the ship. The ship is going down. There's a good question to ask God right now. Am I making the right choices? Because it will live or it will die as we know it, based on the choice that you make as the church.
Mm-hmm.
He will not make the choice for you, nor can anyone else make the choice for you. Just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Make the choice for me. Nor can you live off someone else's choice. Everybody has to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to accept Jesus Christ? It's your choice. He's waiting. He wants you, but you have to decide. All the way from the, I could go on for hours telling you the choices that he gave men and how many times men have blown it. But because Jesus made the perfect choice, we can choose Jesus, and by his grace and by his mercy, we can make it in. Mm-hmm. We can be forgiven. Will you choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will you bow your knee before him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Will you choose to follow him in his ways? All of creation is waiting. What choice are you going to make? If you want to make that choice right now, just do it now. Do it now. He's right near you. He's seeing if you're going to reach out for him. Say, Father, I want you. Jesus, I need you. I make a choice this moment. I make a choice at this moment that I want to make you the Lord of my life. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know, but I'm going to begin the journey. Jesus, I'm crying out to you. Father, I want to be with you. I see there's a way I can be in relationship with you through your son, Jesus Christ. And because of your choice to sacrifice him, Father, and because of Jesus' choice to be the sacrifice, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. If you made that choice, let us know. Go to VFNTV.com and let us know. Also, if you need some help understanding or walking through this, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. And it'll walk you through exactly what just happened and giving you biblical alignment with what's going on and bring you into the family of God. That's meetmyfather.org. What is today's proverb, the wisdom moment? Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.